It's recruiting season, Michael, and things are heating up for Florida State. We've got new commitments, top targets, and potential flip candidates to talk about in this fully loaded recruiting update episode. So what's up, Noel Nation? I'm Jesse. That's Michael. We are Plant the Spear, and thank you so much for joining us. Florida State is still looking to put together this 2026 class, and they have got some real momentum in this summer with a lot of official visits taking place throughout the month of June and going into July. They've gotten some recent returns on those visits with some early commitments. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Excited to get into this one. And you know, Michael, we were talking about this before the show, man. There are only 10 shows left that we do our normal Friday recordings. Of course, we'll probably have some more extra shows in there. But right now, we're about 10 shows away from being game week against Alabama. So, man, it is really high time to start digging into that 2025 season. But before we do that, we wanted to bring you this massive recruiting update for Florida State in the summer. But man, now is a great time, if you're a Florida State fan, to go ahead and hit that like and subscribe to stay connected with Plant the Spear, as man, it's time to get into a lot of offensive and defensive previews, opponent previews. We're going to really start digging in. I recently got my hands on some college football preseason magazines to start filtering down for you guys. So lots and lots of content coming up. Make sure you hit that subscribe button to stay connected. And if you feel so inclined to do so, you can join the channel on YouTube with a membership. Become part of the PTS tribe. We will have some exclusive benefits for the people who do decide to join and be a member. But again, keep in mind, guys, all of our content will always be free. There's just going to be some extra perks for members, and we greatly appreciate your support, whether it be a like, a subscribe, or a membership. So thank you for that. Now, Michael, man, excited to get into this one. Lots of recruiting talk today, and how are you, my friend? And thanks for joining me for another episode.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. Yeah, I mean, it's about time. We've been wondering and kind of worried that this staff hasn't really been doing as much better as the previous staff was, but now Florida State's kind of cooking right now in the recruiting world. So yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, that is one thing that we were kind of watching under the staff. Like when you replace them, when you overhaul that staff, sure, the on-the-field stuff mattered, but one of our biggest questions was, how are they going to recruit? Is it going to be better than what we saw with the last staff? And, you know, Gus is a guy who's recruited well at Auburn, had a lot of top 10 classes. We talked about that in the past. Had UCF recruiting as good as they ever have there in Orlando. And then Tony White's not a guy who's a stranger to good recruiting, even at some schools where maybe it's been a little difficult to sign top recruits.
Right.
You know, and then we saw a little preview of what they did there on signing day. They took this class, rose it like, 30 spots or something like that, and had some big last minute flips there. So, you know, we're just kind of now seeing the fruits of their labor now. It's taken a little bit of time. Maybe that pot roast was in the crock pot, Michael. It just wasn't it just wasn't quite done yet. Now they're cooking, man. So lots to talk about today. And we're going to start with the commitments. But I do want to say real quick, man, it was pretty cool over the weekend. Florida State's been hosting all these guys and having all these camps. And I actually got to see my nephew go to a camp at Florida State. Got to work with Herb Hand, the big man. I mean, he's 6'6", 250 with a size 16 shoe at like 16 years old, man. I mean, I need Herb. I need you to get my guy an
offer now,
or at least let's get him on campus for a visit, because I've already told him, I'm like, dude, if you go on campus for a visit, you best believe I'm going to be there. Like, you know them funny ones where you see like the 50-year-old dad who's wanting to get dressed up in the uniform? And that's me.
I can see you in a uniform.
He's not committing until I take some pictures in the uniform.
Exactly.
Y'all got any 2XL jerseys back there? Oh man, but it was really cool to see. I was a little bit jealous, you know, getting to be at the IPF and all that stuff. But
it's awesome.
Yeah, man, but that was cool. And again, like we say, man, it's a family here at Plant Spear, and it's more than just covering Florida State because we have to. It's because we want to and because we love to. But man, let's get into these new commitments. Now, keep in mind, Florida State did have two commitments that we talked about on the last episode. We're not going to dive into them, but we will touch on them as we kind of recap the month of June so far. So let's get into the newest ones that Florida State landed this week. And first up is 4-star defensive lineman. Now, me and Michael were struggling with this one before the show. Tico Crittenden. We just call him T-Crit. That's what we're going to call him. You know, we got to be getting better, Michael, because the more guys that we have with tough names to pronounce, that usually means you're getting better.
That's right.
But when I look at this, defensive lineman, 4-star out of Lithonia, Georgia, 6'4", 300 pounds, number 336 nationally, number 40 defensive lineman. I love the size coming in at 6'4", 300 already. And really what stands out to me when you talk about Tico is the impressive offers that he holds. 36 total, 23 from Power Four schools. Some of the names that you beat out for his services here are Tennessee, UGA, and Texas Tech. And to me, that says something. I mean, you have two, you know, really good programs there, made the playoffs last year. And then you also have Texas Tech, who's just been throwing around NIL money like it's going out of style. And so to beat those, that's good, a very good look there for Florida State. And, of course, you got to hang on to them.
Right.
Did have 25 tackles, 15 TFLs, one sack, two forced fumbles in what I read was only six games last year. Don't hold me to that. But still, 15 TFLs is a pretty good number there. When I look at his skill set, he is a gap penetrator, quick hands, above average strength, good size, again, at 6'4", 300 pounds. He does give you some flexibility up front, which is big in Tony White's defense.
Yep.
But, man, I mean, again, you look at the competition you beat out to get the kid. I think this is a great addition to this class.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, our boy Taco, as they like this, they call him, or as we're going to call him, T-Crit. Yeah, he can play inside, but it also gives you, like you said, a little bit of flexibility. He can get outside as well. And for Florida State to beat the likes of Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Texas, Oregon, Auburn, Florida, and others for this commitment, I mean, that's big time. And, you know, there was some scuttlebutt out there about, you know, Pot Roast, Terrence Knighton, that maybe he wasn't as great a recruiter as we were led to believe, that maybe he was a little lazy on the trail. So it's really good to finally see him get one in, or a couple in, really, and start to show some of that recruiting prowess that he became known for. So hopefully we can get these to stick and get Taco to stick, because he could be a huge addition to Florida State's defensive line efforts in the recruiting space.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, they have really went heavy in the trenches, which is something that I think they know they got to fix, because, you know, when we talk about the defensive line, you know, we love him. We love Odell. Right. He is the GOAT and all that stuff. But the high school recruiting just hasn't been where it's needed to be over the last few years. So you really need to load this with some good high school talent. We've been living out of the portal there for a while, and so your depth has been thin there. So it's been nice to see. And like I said, maybe that Pot Roast was just in the crock pot, and he wasn't cooking yet.
That's right.
But that will cook in now. And so next up on the recruitment list here, commitment list, is James Tank Kerrigan. And this is another one here with a host of offers, 27 Power Four offers. You beat out the top contenders of Nebraska and Arkansas here. Four-star defensive lineman. Now, he is a three-star depending on where you look, but four-star defensive lineman in the 247 composite. 6'2", 257 out of Irvine, California. 33 tackles last year, 14 tackles for loss, nine sacks. He's got explosive power, a quick first step, and he's been a national recruit since he's been a freshman. Kind of, I think he's been at like three or four different high schools across the country. But, you know, again, man, this is another quality pickup for the defensive line here. Number 357 nationally, number 41 defensive lineman. So you get the number 40 and number 41 defensive lineman in this class, according to the 247 rankings. So, man, I mean, again, stacking the trenches with you know, pretty good players. Now, you know, these are the type of guys that are probably going to take a little bit of development once they get in here. But man, it's just, you're stacking that depth right now and you're getting some quality guys. And, you know, I know some of these guys will be looked at as, they're a three-star here or a four-star there, or depending on where you look. You know, I think some of these guys have some room to grow into that recruitment to get that, solidify that composite four-star status. But man, I like this one.
Yeah, listen, you got to keep stacking options, right? You have to keep recruiting and then over-recruit them. It is the coach's job to recruit over the players, and it's the player's job to keep their starting jobs. So go get the best players you can get and then hopefully develop them and keep recruiting them so that you can have multiple options. And speaking of options, I mean, this kid had some options in high school. I mean, he was in high school in Baltimore, then in Georgia, then in Nevada, and then obviously he ended up in my former neck of the woods, Irvine, California. Had 66 tackles and 24 sacks across two seasons. I mean, the dude is, and you beat out the likes of Georgia, USC, Michigan, Oregon, Oklahoma, LSU, Miami, Texas A&M, Nebraska, Arkansas, and many others, including Alabama. So I think this is another good addition. He talked about that brotherhood that he saw among the defensive line, which you worried that might have kind of dissipated with Odell stepping away. But he he felt like both him and T-Crit said, you know, there's a brotherhood here. So I love the fact that if you can hold on to these two, you're pairing these guys coming in together. They can be a part of the change of that defensive line, getting back to that just feared, like you didn't want to see Florida State defensive line. Yeah. That's what I like about this commit.
Yeah, 1,000%, man. And, you know, when you talk about the star ratings and things like that, like, yeah, okay, the blue chip standard is a thing, right? And to win a national championship, it still is what it is. Yep. But I just look back to, like, the Jared Verse and the Braden Fisk, who either were low stars or no stars coming out of high school, and those were great guys for you. So, you know, you talk about the 24 tackles for loss and the 66 tackles and the size that they have and the things that you see, the intangibles. You know, you can work on some of the stuff when you get on campus. You can add some mass. You can work on the fundamentals and things like that. Man, you can't coach size and you can't coach production and having a nose for the football. And so that's something that I really like out of some of these recruits that they're getting. And the next one is no different than that. And that's three-star linebacker Noah LaValle. Now, most of you guys, of course, know that last name because he is the younger brother of Caleb LaValle, who transferred in from North Carolina. And, you know, we saw Caleb there at UNC in that very last game that he played. He started the bowl game for North Carolina and was insanely productive. So you were already like, all right, man, that was probably a good get right there at linebacker to begin with. He was only a redshirt freshman, so you had some time with him. He wasn't just a one-and-done guy. Oh, by the way, he's also got a highly productive three-star, you know, linebacker younger brother that you can probably bring in as well. So maybe the coaching staff knew this was potentially a two-for-one deal when you took the older brother anyway. And so when I look at Noah here, 27 offers, your main contender here was Ole Miss. He had taken an official visit to the Rebels, and, you know, so they were after him. So that was your main competition there. But, man, 124 tackles last year in Georgia's highest classification of high school football. And, you know, Georgia's got some daggone good high school football. Very fluid mover, downhill attacker, can cover in space. The only thing that I see here, really, Michael, is only 8 tackles for loss last year. Yeah. So I think that can improve a little bit of causing chaos behind the line of scrimmage. Yep. But still, 6'2", 220 out of Marietta, Georgia, number 108 linebacker in the 2026 class. This is a kid that I could see eventually getting a little bit of a bump here, you know, just because of the size that he has and the production that he brings against really good competition. So, man, you know, building that linebacker core, again, that's something where Florida State has struggled for a while, especially in recruiting, you know, with Randy in there, three-star Randy.
Three-star Randy
at the helm. You know, and I know he's a three-star here. I get that as well. But, you know, it's going to be one of them where you just got to build that base back up, man. And I actually, you know, we were talking about it before. I'm really excited about what the linebacker room is going to look like this year. Yes. And I think if that's something that you see them have an exceptional year in the linebacker room, that could help with your recruiting too. Just kind of help Florida State build that you know, profile of productive linebackers. But, man, I think just when I look at the production and the size that he brings, I like this take.
Absolutely. I do too. And again, I totally agree with you. You know, prior to 2023 season, we didn't really have great linebacker play for the longest of time. Then we had a glimpse of what it could look like, where maybe not like all world linebacker play, but consistent linebacker play. Then it nosedived last year. And this is probably the first time in a long time I've been really, really like, oh man, I think we might not have to worry about our linebackers this year. Like, that is going to be so nice. And what I love about this pickup with LaValle is, well, a couple things. Number one, I actually went and watched a breakdown of his tape, and he is the ideal size and perfect fit and has the instinct to play the Mike spot on Tony White's 3-3-5 defense. And if you don't know football terms, the Mike is that middle linebacker. He is the one who's making the calls to the defensive line as far as gap assignments and everything like that, as he's reading the offensive keys and everything like that. He's the guy that he's got the green dot on his head in the game, right? And so he is perfect. Jesse, I'm not saying he's like good or great, but he's perfect. He's a perfect fit for that. Even Tony White and Mike Norvell and all of them in their like talkings without talking, because they're not allowed to talk about him until they sign him, were saying something around the fact of, or all the recruiting experts were saying, that he would be a perfect fit for Tony White's defensive system in there. And of course, the other thing is this: Florida State was recruiting him prior
yeah.
to getting his brother from UNC. So yeah. they were recruiting him independently. Now, I ain't gonna lie, I'm sure getting his brother helped.
Right.
But they were already after this kid before his brother got on. So I really love this fit. I think, again, you're building that depth in the linebacker room. And I love that they were able to get this guy.
Yeah, and I think that is important to remember that they did want him before
right.
they got his brother. Now, maybe when they saw his brother become available, they were like, hey, that's definitely going to be something in our corner
that's
for
right.
an advantage. But, I mean, it sounds like they had a pretty good chance to land him anyway. So now you yep. get both. And, you know, the crazy thing is with them both being so young, they could actually be starting at one point together
that's right.
on the field, man. And, hey, look, wow. I mean, if you needed a sign that we were headed to the Big Ten at some point, Michael, we got some white linebackers going on yeah. now. So.
And the once we get that neck roll, it's over.
Dude, we're a neck roll and some tape fingers away from a national championship. I can feel it. And so a couple of the other recruits, just to kind of rewind things to earlier in the month, two of the ones that we talked about before, again, was three-star defensive lineman Whitley Cadu here. Now, all I got to say about this kid is 6'5", 295, with some impressive offers as well. Again, we talked about him on the last episode, so we're not going to really go in depth there. And, of course, four-star wide receiver Brandon Bennett, number 33 wide receiver in the 2026 class, also with some impressive offers as well. So let's talk about Tribe 26 and where it stands currently. Looking here at the class as a whole, 14 commits. You are up to now 14th in the On3 industry rankings, top 15 class for Florida State as it stands right now. 247, I'm going to need you to get your stuff together a little bit here this with this disrespect of this 22nd ranking here. You can bump us up at least into the top 20. You know, I typically like to use the 247 composite, but look, hey, I can be swayed to which one makes us look better because it's my party and I do what I want.
That's right.
So 22nd in the 247 rankings. And, you know, again, man, you got some good pieces here. You got Ephraim White, four-star athlete, four-star wide receiver Brandon Bennett, four-star DB Tadarius Hughes, four-star DB Darryl Bell, four-star defensive tackle T-Crit, as we're going to call him.
T-Crit.
Four-star running back Amari Thomas, four-star athlete Darion Williams, four-star D lineman James Carrington, three-star linebacker Kayron Maycock, Sean Johnson, three-star DB who just shut his commitment recruitment down after an official visit to Florida State, three-star offensive lineman Xavier Payne who is on campus right now. Of course, we talked about Whitley Cadu. You also have legacy offensive line commit three-star Michael Iannotta, and then Noah LaValle that we just talked about as well. So, man, this is not a ton of star power right now when you talk about from the top end of things, but you right. got a really quality class that you're building with some real good talent here that I really like, man. And there's a lot of guys. We're going to talk about some targets here and some flip watches here in just a second that I think Florida State, you know, if some of these things can fall into line, man, they can have a pretty daggone good class. They can have something that may even resemble a top 10 class at the end of the year. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But, man, so far, top 15 and On3, number 22 and 247, and some pieces that I really like.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's trending upwards fast.
Yeah.
Jesse, would you have thought that 2 months ago, a month
no,
ago,
yeah.
10 days ago? You thought we were – it was like, oh, this is bad. But the fact that it just flipped on a dime like that is incredible. So with those 14 guys already committed, and like we're going to talk about here, some key, you know, weekend visits that are on tap and some RPMs that we've seen some of the national pundits put in about a couple other different players we could potentially get, I would definitely say that Florida State is on the cusp of breaking into the national elite of recruiting for 2026. Like, yeah. Yes, can we finally get to where we're supposed to be? Like,
I know.
I would love to if we could, in the day and age that we live in, regardless of if they commit or not. I mean, committing is just as fickle as changing your underwear. I mean, you never know what underwear you're going to be wearing the next day because you're going to change it. And these recruits, they'll just keep going with what they have, and so they'll keep changing schools until they hear the number and things they want to. So if we can sign this class, if we can actually get this class, finish it out with what we need and sign it, this might be the beginning of the redemption of Mike Norvell's program.
Yeah, and I mean, you got some pieces that need to fall in line, right? And we're going to talk about that more in a second about can Florida State get to the top 10. It's kind of that elusive thing that's right. happened since Mike Norvell has been here. He's not signed a top 10 class. I think they probably would have had a top 10 class signed last year had things not have fallen apart because they had a right. lot of talent in that class before things came unraveled. But let's talk about some targets, and then we'll go on to that top 10 conversation. So some of the top targets remaining, and we're actually going to call these trending targets because these are a couple of names that you need to know. Now, Florida State is hosting a boatload of prospects over the next couple of weekends into July over the summer. But these are some of the ones that are actually trending towards Florida State. These are ones where one of the major outlets, whether it be On3 or 247, has put in a crystal ball or a recruiting prediction, whichever they want to call it, for Florida State to land these guys. Now, that doesn't always mean that's going to happen, but that means you feel pretty good about where you're at. And at the top of the board is quarterback Jaden O'Neal, four-star, who was a recent Oklahoma commit. And this is kind of the breaking news of the day. Actually happened this morning as we're recording. He actually decommitted from Oklahoma after coming off an official visit to Florida State, decommitted last night. And, you know, when I looked at this, man, this is kind of a, you needed something that you thought you needed something to fall into your way, right? You thought you needed some dominoes to fall to be able to get Jaden O'Neal, right? You had two other ones, Keyshawn Henderson and Landon Duckworth, coming on campus, this supposedly coming on campus this month. That didn't come through for you. And then Jaden O'Neal was kind of just waiting to see what Bo Bentley was going to do there between Oklahoma and LSU.
Right.
Well, if you went through the time to read his decommitment graphic, it sounded like he really didn't like being recruited over. And granted, that is, like you said, man, that's the responsibility of the coaching staff. But that's kind of the one of the things that can happen when you recruit over somebody. He said basically he wants to take his talent somewhere where it's valued. And so they went in, you know, they had him committed. He's been committed there for almost a little over a year. And then they went out and they started recruiting Bo Bentley. I mean, Jaden O'Neal moved from California to Oklahoma to play high school football there and be closer to the program. And it seemed like they were kind of playing games and kind of, you know, putting him on the back burner for their quarterback commitment. And the funny thing with Florida State is, like, I'm going to be totally transparent and honest here. Like, I'm not going to blow sunshine and smoke, but this was not Florida State's first choice.
Correct.
Right. This is, to be real, this is choice number four, because you had Brady Smiegel, then you had Landon Duckworth and Keyshawn Henderson.
Yep.
Well, in a weird kind of way, it actually worked out for you that essentially all your pieces fell off the board. Yep. And it just kind of worked out for you that they're still in it with someone else and you're not. So now Florida State has chosen to make him a priority, and it sounds like that's what he wants to be. Yep. So, you know, with him coming fresh off of a official visit, he now has three crystal balls. I know of two from 247 and one from On3.
Yep.
And the decommitment, man, it just looks like all signs are pointing to he's going to land in Tallahassee at Florida State. And I like the take, man. Maybe he's not what the other two guys were, but 6'3", 215, threw for 3,000 yards last year, 61% completion percentage, 28 touchdowns, four interceptions, great touchdown to interception ratio there. He did talk about how he feels like he fits in the Gus Malzahn system because he is more of a pure passer than a running type of quarterback.
Right.
But he has acknowledged, you know, where Gus has kind of had some passing guys too, the Jared Stidhams of the world and things like that. Right. And they've had some success with those types of quarterbacks too. Not to say this guy is like a statue or DJU or anything like that, but he's maybe not what you would think of with like Landon Duckworth or Keyshawn Henderson with those types of guys. But it does sound like this is pretty much who you're going to end up with. And man, at the end of the day, maybe it wasn't choice one or choice two, but when I recorded the most ill-timed quarterback recruiting update in the history of this channel, I did say in there, I'm not saying you're going to get two. I'm not saying which one of the three you're going to get, but you got to get one of the three because you can't be left out in the cold at quarterback in 2026, knowing that Tommy Castellanos is going to be gone. You got Kevin Sperry, and we don't really know what Brock Glenn's going to be, but with no one committed in the 26 class, you had to get somebody. And so it does look like you're going to end up with Jaden O'Neal. And I think that's a pretty good, you know, from where you're at, I think that's a pretty good take.
Well, be positive, Jesse. Here's the thing. When you haven't developed a high school quarterback at all since you've been at Florida State, you are going to struggle to recruit high school quarterbacks, right?
Especially when you bring in Gus Malzahn.
Exactly. And then you bring in Gus Malzahn, who has a particular style of quarterback that he wants and leverages. You're going to turn off those other types of quarterbacks that don't want to play in that type of system. So let's just acknowledge what is true already up front. Okay. So yes, you might had to fall to option number four. Okay. But option number four is better than the option you had before that, which was zero. You had no options, right?
Right.
You were striking out, and you've been striking out on quarterbacks. And so if you can close this deal with Jaden and get him in the program and develop him and show the 2027 quarterbacks and the 2028 quarterbacks that, hey, actually, we're changing the game when it comes to quarterback recruitment right now at Florida State, then you'll start to see more of these better quarterbacks stick or be more interested. But right now, you can't do anything because the notion is out there around the country that Florida State is where quarterbacks go to die. That's simple.
Yeah.
Right. And I want to be positive about the program I love dearly, but that is the truth. I wouldn't send my son to play quarterback at Florida State right now because I've not seen it. So you've got to get this guy in and you've got to show that you can actually develop him. Right. You can't keep pointing to Jordan Travis. You can't keep pointing to that because that wears off. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, but dude broke his leg and he's not in the NFL anymore. What does that do for you? So you've got to actually get these guys in. You got to start with Kevin Sperry. You got to show that you can do something with Kevin Sperry. And then you got to show some, you could do something with Jaden. Right. So let's get him in there first. Let's develop him. And then I think this problem of QBs being afraid to want to even touch Florida State will actually eventually get itself back. I mean, last thing, I'll throw this back to you, Jesse. Think back again. Let me call back to the 90s, the glory years of Florida State, the decade. I mean, we had the best quarterbacks in the country. Why? Because we had the best talent around them. Right. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter what type of offense we were running. I mean, when they installed the gun and had Charlie Ward going crazy from the shotgun. I mean, that was new. That was everything. Well, Gus Malzahn's basically running the same type of offense. He just runs it 60% of the time. So if you can get a quarterback in there and show actually, hey, you can thrive in this type of offense.
Yeah.
That's a game changer. That's where we're at. I would love this pickup if we can get him and we can hopefully develop him.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the big thing. He's not committed yet. Now, the only other program he's taken an official visit to was Arizona back in the end of May, so it does feel like you're the favorite. And again, when I say number four, I don't want to make it sound like he's a bad quarterback.
Right.
He's still the number 14 quarterback, top 15 quarterback in the 2026 class. He did compete and did a very good job in the Elite 11 competition.
Right.
And, you know, your first three were all top 10 quarterbacks in the 2026 class. So, you know, maybe you were a little bit too big for your britches, right? Coming off 2-10 and some of the things that you've had working against you to aim that high at some of the other quarterbacks. So I think this being your landing place is still pretty darn good if you can get him in there. And I like the size at 6'3", 215. So hopefully he does end up in the class. You know, again, man, I mean, like we said, you got to get some talent in that class. You got to get some bodies in this room because eventually it's got to work out. And you're right. There is a stigma around this quarterback position right now that Florida State has to shake. And I think, you know, a good year can really go a long way in doing that. Now, I would probably still send my kid to Florida State because I heard that we paid almost $1 million for DJU.
Yeah.
I don't even have a kid, but he's probably still as good as DJU was. So we'll just send him.
He can hit some bricks. I bet he can.
Exactly. And so some other trending targets. This would be a huge one for Florida State to get 5-star defensive back Chauncey Keenan. Man, this would be a massive get for Florida State. He does right now currently plan to announce on July the 6th, recently on campus for Florida State. Obviously, you know, the one person on staff that does not have any trouble recruiting has been Patrick Surtain. So, man, if you could get him, that would be huge there. Another flip watch here is wide receiver legacy recruit Devin Carter, 4-star. He was actually committed to Florida State at one point, and then the staff shakeup happened. He decommitted. He went over there and committed to Auburn. And now it does seem like he is trending back to Florida State, does have a crystal ball to land with Florida State. And I did see somebody posted that when Jaden O'Neal posted his decommitment graphic on Instagram, Devin Carter did make a comment underneath it. So maybe that is something to keep your eye on there. The stars are aligning for them to both end up back in Tallahassee. And Devin Carter, I believe, has already been on campus in June. For another official visit. So, man, that would be a good get there, especially because it's a legacy. Now, I know we've talked about this before. We haven't had a lot of luck with legacies, but it's just tough to see him go somewhere else, I think, more than anything. And staying in the legacy vein, DB J. Timmons, 4-star is the son of Lawrence Timmons, a linebacker, former famed linebacker for Florida State. He is in Tallahassee this weekend for a visit. Like I said, four-star DB there. Sure would be nice to land him as well. Does have a crystal ball for Florida State. Yep. So hopefully that's something we can watch there. But Florida State's got a lot of targets. You know, we were talking about this before the show. Five-star linebacker Xavier Griffin is also on campus this weekend for an official visit. So, man, they're getting some kids in. They're getting some early momentum. And, you know, you just really got a shout out to Tony White and Terrence Knighton for the work they've been doing. Offensive line has been getting some, the offensive side there as well. Tim Harris Jr. at wide receiver coach is actually getting some traction there, which is nice to see as well. And so, man, any thoughts on those last couple of the targets there, the trending targets that we talked about? I know, again, you got what, at least two legacy commits there and then one five-star. Man, if you could get them and O'Neal, that would be huge for this 2026 class.
Oh, I think if you could get the four of those, that puts your class either in the top 10 or right on the cusp at like 11, I think, based on the numbers there. It would be so nice to have that kind of momentum going into the season, right? Yep. Because then you walk into Bama and you're feeling confident. Hey, the program's trajectory is going well. We still got recruits that believe in the brand. We still got recruits that believe in the iconicness of Florida State. They still want to be here. We're still attractive. Now that gives you a little bit of extra oomph as coaches and as a fan base to go into the season believing, hey, yeah, 2-10 sucked, but we're still Florida State. We can still make this thing be about us again. So I would love it if they even, I know commits don't mean a thing. I already said this earlier. But for Florida State right now, a commitment by them means a lot because it means like, hey, we still believe that Florida State can be an elite program. So we're going to sign on right now and then see how it goes the rest of the season. That would be huge for momentum for Florida State.
Yeah, it's a vote of confidence right now for the staff and a program that frankly needs it. And, you know, some of these kids, they will try and get a lot of this done before their high school season starts because, you know, they're going to be busy playing football. They're not going to be able to take a lot of visits, so they're doing it now. And some of them will commit now. It may change depending on how things go. And I think that leads us to our last topic here really is can Florida State land a top 10 class in 2025? And Michael, 2 weeks ago, I probably would have said, I don't know. Like I would be happy to get a top 20 class. Now I think it's very possible. You know, if you talk about the four names that we just mentioned,
right,
Florida State being able to land them, that's going to put you on the doorstep right there. Right. Now for me to hold on to that top 10 class, which is probably more important way to say it than can they land a top 10 class is to hold on to it. I think you need some dominoes to fall in place. Right. And some of that has already started happening, right? Already saw Jaden O'Neal decommit from Oklahoma. That was a big one. You thought you were going to have to wait on Bo Bentley, but you don't even really probably have to do that anymore. Again, he's not committed yet, but we're acting like he's that's probably going to happen. Knowing the way we talk about it on this show and the plant the spear luck, he'll be committed by the time
that's right.
So we're going to go ahead and hint at maybe he did or didn't already. And then I think the next thing is you have to really retain some of your current commits, right? And that leads me to kind of point number three. You got to back it up with a good season on the field, right? It's all kind of used car salesman stuff right now, selling the dream and the new car smell of the staff and all that stuff. You can't go out and go 4-8 or this class is going to fall apart again. But if you can go out and win at least 8 games and show that progress on the field and show that you look competent again and you can retain some of these current commits, man, I think you got a real chance to end up with a top 10 class. I was telling you before the show, I do think a few of these guys are going to get a bump in the ratings too as their senior season progresses. I don't know that it matters. Some people believe you go up or down depending on who you commit to. But, you know, sometimes you get put on the map when you commit to a big program. So I think Florida State has a legitimate chance to land a top 10 class if some of the pieces do fall in place that we're waiting on. Really, a lot of those four names that we talked about right there a minute ago need to happen. And then you just got to back it up on the field. And, man, we could finally look at Florida State getting that first top 10 class under Mike Norvell's tenure. And, again, you're still going to probably have to use the portal into next season. You're always going to lean on that to a degree. But, man, this could be an opportunity for you to really start building the base going forward where you can have that stockpile of high school talent waiting in the wings for whenever you need to replace somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And, man, here's the thing. If they could get Chauncey, the cornerback there, he would be their highest rated recruit and he could be the bell cow of this class.
Yeah.
Right. Because every class needs that one player that's just like, he's better than everybody else, but he says, yes, I want to be a part of this. And better players want to play with him. Right. So go get this guy. I mean, right now On3 has him trending 90% to Florida State, 4% to the Gators there. So if Florida State can at least secure his commitment, well, now he becomes a recruiting tool for you. You're going out there and you're saying, hey, look, we got Chauncey. Chauncey believes in what we're doing, man. Man, don't you want to play with the best? Come play here. You can go play at those other schools and be, you know, behind the eight ball and wait and wait and wait. And you might have some success, or you can come here and build your own name, your own legacy under the most iconic brand in college football, which is Florida State football. I mean, the recruiting recruits itself. And then, yes, you're right. You've got to get on the field and you've got to win. None of this matters if you end up going, you know, less than 8 wins. It doesn't matter, because I don't think those players stick around, but they want to be a part of something successful. They want their money, but they also want to be a part of something successful.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They like to jump onto a moving train nowadays for the most part. But you're right. And I also think Jaden O'Neal is the same way. Like, that's a domino that you need to fall, because a lot of these kids want to know who they're going to be playing with in that class. Right. Like, a lot of these wide receivers probably want to know who their quarterback's going to be.
That's right.
And so if you can get a couple of those to fall in place, man, that would be huge. So that's going to do it for the recruiting update episode, guys. But the last thing I want to talk about is also related to recruiting, but we're going to shift gears to a different sport here, which is baseball. And I only have two for you, but man, these are two big additions by Link Jarrett so far. Look, one thing Link Jarrett can do is use the portal. That's one thing for sure. And so just two quick notes here on some baseball recruits, man. When I saw this name come across, I forgot to talk about it on the last episode, but I am so excited to get this. Florida Atlantic pitcher Trey Beard commits to Florida State in the portal. Another left-handed pitcher here. 2024 stats, 7-1 record, 86 innings pitched, 3.14 ERA, 118 Ks, 32 walks, and allowed just a 1.199 opponent batting average. Now, I will say, against, you know, at Florida Atlantic, the level of competition was nowhere near what Florida State had to play.
Right.
So hear me say that. But remember what I said, 7-1, 86 innings, 3.14 ERA, 118 Ks, 32 walks, and 199 opponent batting average. Our ace, first round draft pick, Jamie Arnold last year, went 8-2, 84.2 innings pitched, 2.98 ERA, 119 Ks, 27 walks, and allowed an opponent average of 208.
Yep.
This kid's got some stuff, man. And so I'm really, really excited to see Trey Beard. And then the last one here, Eli Putnam out of Davidson, transferred over, 349 average, 19 home runs, 62 RBIs last year. First team Atlantic 10 conference past 2 years, man. It's not a lot so far. We only got two commits for baseball yet, but man, these are two really, really high level commits that I am excited to see Link bring into this program, especially, you know, because the one thing I'll throw back to you, but the one thing we talked about was like, what are you going to do next year?
Exactly.
In that pitching staff. And you've lost a few to the portal so far. Yep. Not anyone I feel like you should, you know, cry about or anything like that, but this was a huge addition to get Trey Beard for this pitching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. We were watching a little bit of game film before on the pre-show, and man, first of all, nasty. Link loves him some softball, some left-handed throws there, and he's got a fastball and a sweeping slider that I just would have just buckled my whole body under had I had to stand in that box. So I really like this addition. Of course, you know, he's going to be stepping up in competition, so we'll have to see how he handles that. But yeah, I mean, the biggest question going into this offseason is, can they get some decent arms in the bullpen? That has been your Achilles heel these last two postseason runs, is the bullpen. The bullpen has kept you from being able to get to the from winning the College World Series. Now, listen, the College World Series in baseball, it's fickle. I don't know if you saw the Arkansas game. I mean, the dude had a ball bounce right off of him, and they were winning. They were going to go to the championship game, and they're out. And you think about the two programs that have been the most successful in college baseball history to not win a national title. You think Florida State and you think Arkansas. And you've got to figure out what is those little things every time that is keeping you away. And for Florida State, it is the bullpen.
Yep.
At least in this iteration of Florida State baseball, it has been the bullpen. So, man, let's keep adding better and better arms. I'm sure you'll get some bats and some defense around that as well too. But man, let's get that bullpen stock so that we don't have to worry that if we have to go to a bullpen, we have to go to the bullpen for either a bullpen game or to help out the starter there. we feel confident and not dread.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And this is a huge addition, especially if you get Vellini back, if you get Mendez back. Yep. Evan Crest is another guy that got injured way early in the year that he should be back as well, too. So, man, but just seeing this 118 Ks last year, that is good job, Link. So, man, really excited to see this. But that's going to do it, guys. Just want to talk about some big recruiting updates. Again, now is the best time to hit that like and subscribe button. Rate and review on the podcast. Make sure you're following along. Also, check out plantthespirit.com, our website. I've been doing a lot better about getting those articles up there. Follow us on social media to stay up to date on all the news happening around Florida State. Because, again, guys, it's almost crunch time, Michael. It is almost time getting down to that Florida State Alabama kickoff. So now is a great time to be a part of the PTS family. If you feel like joining on YouTube, we do have memberships available, one low price. We're going to have a lot of exclusive benefits once we get that built up going into the season. So we appreciate you guys if you feel like joining that as well. So looking forward to talking to you guys on the next one. We got a lot of football to talk about coming up. Appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for watching. As always, go Noles.
Go Noles.